I'm more and more convinced studying the Bible is not the best way to get to know God. Studying the Bible is not the best way to get to know God. It's reading it relationally, reading it slowly, as if having a cuppa and having a chat with Christ is like, you know, and you might read a whole chapter and just one sentence or one word just shimmer at you, you know, just catch your glimpse. You're like, oh, what's that about? You know, and you pause and you're like, Jesus, what's that about? Why do you put in it? Let me give you an example. Most of you know the Luke 15, the son who asked the father and say, hey, can you give me half of your inheritance so I can go? All right. And then we know that the father was looking out for the son to return. And the father saw the son from the distance and rushed. All right. And then there's one sentence, and he kissed him. So he lingered on that. He kissed him. Have you been kissed by your father? What's a kiss? It's a manifestation of a loaded love. The son was smelly, very smelly, piggy smell, stinky piggy smell. To kiss someone, you have to be close enough. It's not like, you know. So you linger on. So what we're going to do today is simply read scripture, slowly meditate, pause, and then pray. So I'm open up to you guys. If you're kind of like, oh, wow, didn't see that. Read that before, didn't see that. Just pray it out. So that's a conversational reading of the Bible. Pray it back and say, Lord, wow, thank you, Lord. That's my daily manna for today. It's, but you can also prophesy. It's like, oh, Lord, I'm going to live like that. All right? So we are celebrating Christ's resurrection. Hallelujah. He's risen. Thank you, Ashley. See, again, Ashley didn't study the Bible to get that. He's just like, oh, wow, I better take a look at the Bible. What say? All right, let's go to the second slide, please. All right, thank you. So we got Melanie reading for us. Then we're going to pause. And then if you want to pray, pray. If not, we're going to move on.
Can you hear me? Yeah. From Romans 5, 6 to 11. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also exalt and celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation.
So we pause and reflect and meditate, and if you want to pray, you pray. So the part that jumped out at me is, we shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by his life. It's not we shall be saved by his death, which is very common. we shall be saved by his crucifixion. We actually be saved by his life. What kind of life? Was it life before the cross? Life after the cross? Life as he ascended to God? Or life right now because he is everlasting life? And not only this, but we also exalt, celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus. The word exalt is basically almost like we are glorified as Christ in God. That's pretty good, I reckon. Next one. Next, yeah.
Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death is no longer a master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
So we're going to come to communion now. Communion the last 3 days, as in the Easter Sunday, is climax of what Christ had been prophesied in the scripture. So we know Christ was crucified for 6 hours, roughly. And while he was crucified 6 hours, out of that 6 hours, 3 hours of darkness. 3 hours of darkness that all over the world or known world then, so communion is to recognize or acknowledge that that was part of the scripture history. The Father who loves the world sent his Son, accompanied with the Holy Spirit, to empower him to live a sinless life and willing to sacrifice himself fully, fully to the Father, to die on the cross, full of sin for us. So after he died, it was somewhere like that, 3 days buried in the tomb. 3 days buried. So there was a permanent dead. That's something about Christianity that is very powerful. Without death, there's no resurrection. It is only Christianity that you look closely in all religion that talk about permanent death and resurrection. So Christ has died. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Amen. Christ will come back again. That's what communion is about. So we proclaim his death until he comes. And while we proclaim his death until he comes, it's basically saying, this is not it. We're just passing through. So we better do all we can for the glory of God and bring as many people as long so that we can enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb. So for 3 days he was buried. And then I think, am I moving the right way? Somebody moved the stone. I don't know who. So we're going to take communion. For those who can serve, can you come out and serve? Again, take a time, reflect before you take it. Have a chat with the Lord. All right? And in your own time, understand that Jesus' body was broken. Bash, thresh. His blood was spilled. The blood spilled is a fluid of forgiveness that forever and ever the fluid of forgiveness can be applied to anyone. Because without the forgiveness of sin, there's no new life. So when you're ready, so we're not going to do take it all together. So when you're ready, you just take it. And understand this communion is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a demonstration of Father's heart, Father's love heart, Father's love for us. And now the continuous communion with the Triune God through the Holy Spirit. Thanks. So, Father, would you awaken in the resurrection power so that we know and know and know that Jesus lived, died, and resurrected for us again, and is coming back again. Hallelujah. JT, next slide, please.
However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you.
So, obviously, most of you are not used to it, but you're allowed to pray after the scripture if you want to. So, next slide, please. All right, this one, okay, no scripture. All right, obviously today is Resurrection Sunday. So Resurrection Sunday, sometimes we don't think too much about it, but really, again, this is vitally important in the Christian faith. Vitally important. Next slide, please.
For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures.
So 1 Corinthians 15 is a long chapter, one of the longest chapters in the New Testament, and it's all about resurrection. And Paul was trying to say, you guys, if you miss this, you miss the whole thing. So this is post-resurrection. So when you read the scripture, it's important to understand the timeline on earth. All right, the Old Testament, then Jesus turned up, and then post-resurrection. We are in the post-resurrection. So Pauline letters is not more important than Jesus' word. All right. Some people like, oh, post-resurrection, so Pauline's letter is the one that we go to. But it's important to see that Paul wasn't around when Jesus was around. So Paul didn't hang out. So where did Paul receive it? It was through the Spirit. All right. So for all of us, it's like, okay, all right, Holy Spirit is important, but again, we got the scripture now. So we don't like, oh, just rely on the Holy Spirit. We go back to the scripture because everything is based now on the apostle and prophet of the New Testament. But Paul picked it up and say, okay, for I deliver you as of first important what I also receive. Obviously, inspiration from the Holy Spirit is like, this is utmost important. Christ died according to scripture. So Paul was a Hebrew scholar. He know the scripture inside out. He said, you know what? He came to fulfill the law and prophet. It was written. He has to die. That's the thing. He has to die. And then he has to, 3 days. Again, reflection of Jonah in the whale's tummy. All right. So that's significant, 3 days. But he has to be raised again. Next one.
Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Your faith is also vain. If we hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied.
So Paul basically saying no Christ resurrection, no Christianity, man. I don't know what you're on about. If there's no Christ resurrection, we are to be most pitied. All we're doing is playing church, going nowhere, going round and round and going nowhere. Next one. Next slide, yeah. Next one. All right.
This he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep." Jesus said to her and us, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
In our Bible, anyway, depending on different version, there's 47 times resurrection was kind of mentioned, and 39 of the 41 was mentioned in the New Testament. So resurrection was very, very important. 1 Corinthians 15 is a whole chapter, you know, Paul understanding of it. And then John 11 is also another chapter about resurrection, but Christ was show and tell of it. And part of the show and tell was raising Lazarus. And his view is, he's not really dead, he's just sleeping. But he was buried for 3 days, and he waited for 4th day, because Jesus saw like, okay, I'm not in a hurry, let him sleep. Because it's important in that time for them to realize Lazarus was really, really dead. He was stinking of dead flesh, you know. And so Jesus came along and wake him up. So when Jesus say, I am the resurrection and the life, he wasn't crucified yet. Is that right? So he was prophesying. So it's either he's a lunatic and say, okay, I'm actually going to die, and then, you know, or he's just a liar. Or maybe he was the I am. So in John, his glory was shown when he declared of seven I am. You can dig it out, look at it. But one of the I am was, I'm the resurrection and the life. And he still asked the question to many, many people in the church, not to the world. Do you believe in it? If you believe in certain truth, I think you will live differently. How you behave and live actually is a symptom and sign of what you actually believe. Next one, please. All right. I think this is important to understand. The biblical resurrection is very different from understanding of major religion. So three major religion, the Islam, Judah, and Christian, believe in resurrection. All right? But they don't believe that Nabi or Prophet Jesus will be raised. They just believe in everybody will be raised. And then if you are in the Muslim, Allah will judge you. That's why you get resurrected. Whether you do good enough, whether you pray enough, whether you fast enough. In Judaism, has a similar kind of concept of works. So two resurrection is work basis. But Jesus' resurrection is, no, you come with me, man. As Simon's analogy, you got a VIP. You come with me, you go straight to heaven. No kind of judgment. But we need to understand biblical resurrection because the reincarnation thing, which comes from Hinduism, talks about cycle of life, death, and reincarnation. So they don't really die. They're caught up in this cycle. And part of the cycle is they actually want to escape it so that they can go with the divinity. So that's why there's karma, multiple life. All right? If you're born or reincarnated cockroach, you might have a bit of a problem because if somebody comes and squash you, you're gone. But that's the concept, reincarnation. You're caught up in the cycle. But Jesus said, no, you don't have multiple life. One life, one chance. And after that, judgment. Consciousness is Buddhism. They don't have reincarnation because they don't have souls. It's actually very scientific. We watch a science fiction movie. It's a collective. You know the Star Wars, the Bok? The Bok. Okay, that one. There's a collective of consciousness, all right? It can be metal. It can be energy. It can be mineral. Whatever it is actually caught up. And you're part of this consciousness. Again, you have a go at few life, so that you can connect to the universal consciousness. So the difference is, Jesus said, no, you only have one life, one chance. One life, one chance. And that's why Jesus said, come with me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. This is your chance. Sounds terrible, but that's biblical understanding. You need to understand that, because New Age is like, maybe my next life, I will be a bit better. So there's a bit of deception in that, because it's kind of like uncertainty, but maybe half hope that I'll get a better chance next time. Next one.
For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son also gives life to whom he wishes. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life.
I've been taught that when Jesus said truly, truly means you need to get this man. This is double truth. Truly, truly, I tell you. Okay. So it's saying you can escape judgment day because it will come. If you stick with me right here, right now, you pass the judgment. Next one.
Truly, truly, the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. And he gave him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and will come forth. Those who did the good deeds to a resurrection of life, those who committed the evil deeds to a resurrection of judgment.
I must confess, I don't think of Judgment Day too much, but it's in the Bible. Again, Jesus said, truly, 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 everyone who lives on earth will be raised up on the Judgment Day. So I don't want to find out the consequence of not being with Jesus. I don't want to find out to be the resurrection of judgment. I got no idea, but I think sticking with Christ will be better off. You know, whether I'm sure you heard of hell. You know, what is hell? You know, is that eternal damnation? You know, whatever it is. Jesus said, truly, truly, you need to get this. You need to get this. You only have one life on earth, one chance. No cycle of life, death, rebirth, or reincarnation. One life. And it's not about karma. It's not about works like Islam or Judaism. Our righteousness is filthy rag. It's not good enough. Not for the divinity anyway. So, yeah, none of us like to read about this, but it's in there. Again, what we believe affects how we live. Next one. We'll finish with this. Getting too heavy. You want to read that, Melanie?
Have you ever thought of afterlife? Why is there an ultimate judgment day? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life? You can believe Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
So if you believe in resurrection, you can say hallelujah. You know, that's good idea, good wife. All right. I did a lot of study on this, and it's first time I like, this is serious stuff, man. Truly, truly, I need to believe in this, and truly, truly, I need to tell others about it. Let me pray, and then I'm going to get changed, and we're going to... Ashley, are you ready? You are? Okay. And then Angus might lead us in some song and close, yeah? Let me look at Simon and Melinda. Anything to share? No. Melanie and Richard? No. Maria? Anyone? All good. All right. So, Father God, we're so glad, Lord. We're so glad that Jesus came with grace and truth. And when he said truly, truly, he basically wanted us to hold on to his word, to really know the truth, because the truth will set us free. So we come without any sense of condemnation. We come with like, oh, Lord, yes, thank you, Lord. Please, please reveal more truth so we can know your truth and really believe that Jesus is here to set us free to be and do what the Father wants. So there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ has set us free from the law of sin and works, and now allow the law of the Spirit to rule and reign in our heart, which Maria prayed is all about righteousness, peace, and joy. Right here, right now. It's not when we get to heaven. Right here, right now, as we flow with the Spirit, we have righteousness, peace, and joy, because we have passed judgment. We have passed through judgment. Therefore, there's no now, no condemnation. And we are children of God. How good is that? John 17, verse 23, Jesus' last prayer was that we will know that the Father God loves us as much as he loved Christ. So may you enjoy life abundantly on earth, and may you glorify Christ in all that you do, and may you not keep the good news to yourself and show and share with someone that God brings along your way. Hallelujah. Ashley, you ready? Let me take off my pants.
Not here.
What a relief. Can we have a few people just to move things away and the stage, and maybe a couple of people to come and take photos as well, just so that Ashley has a lovely memory of today.